Proverbs 23:7 is where we're going to start, and then we're going to go to John 18:33. So, Proverbs 23:7, John 18:33, and then Philippians 4:8. Just if you want to know. There are so many people that need Jesus. I want to help you. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to open. Of course, I want to just preach whatever you want, but I'm asking you to open eyes and hearts and understanding when I give these examples or whatever, that you would be able to apply it in each heart and people could see truths and how you work in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. I hired a new guy. We trained him. He can do tubs fine, according to Dave. We put him out there. He did some tubs okay. Then he went to this lady's house that we had done a tub about a week or two ago over in East Grand Rapids. And he did not do a good job. And this lady's had a lot of hard things happen in her life. You know, they live in East Grand Rapids, so they're pretty well off, probably, from what I understand. The same size house you could put over somewhere else, and it would be a whole lot less, you know. And the taxes must be bad. I can't imagine them being worse in Wyoming. But anyway, God has helped me to understand that for a number of years now, I've been able to live in my office, basically, do phone calls, and then periodically, he works things out where I have to go out into the field, go into people's homes. It seems like I have to do it all the time, but it's not like every day, okay? So anyway, God worked it out by 2 weeks before Dave sprayed a tub in the house, and she loves it. Then we go to spray the second tub, and my guy, he didn't turn out right. So the builder calls me. When she first hired somebody prior to June, the guy turned out to be a felon, stole stuff in her house, whatever, I don't know, but it was a bad situation. And then she hired this other guy and said, this other company, and said, how long will you be here? And he said, 2 or 3 weeks. Well, it was June, and they're not done yet. And her patience level is depleted. It is gone. Okay? And so when we got there to do the job the first time, the first tub, we thought we'd be there. It was a 3 or 4 hour job, and it turned out to be about a 6 or 7 hour job because we weren't told everything, and I don't have time to go look at 200 tubs every day. And so anyway, they weren't happy that it took us long. They were happy with the result, but whatever. So when we went the second time and my guy did the job and it didn't turn out right, and so she tells the builder. The builder calls me. She's like real mad at this builder. The builder just, I can just feel his, what he must be feeling. And because he can't please her at this point. There's nothing he could do. It doesn't matter what. He can't please her. And then anybody he has worked for her, like us, we can't please her either, right? And she's just, because she's out of grace. Grace is what God gives us. It's like oil in your engine. It makes stuff run smoother, last longer. Okay? So the guy didn't do a good job. This one, whatever day, Thursday must have been. And I went there on, so he calls me and tells me, Harvey, bad job. And I got myself scheduled in the office on Friday because last week I worked Friday, Saturday, and Monday just to catch up all the paperwork and phone calls. So I'm not having days off. I'm just wore out. You know what I mean? I'm just run down. You know what I mean? So he calls me on Friday, And I already had to go do with this other job, whatever. And so I said, I prayed. I'm like, Lord, what do I do? And it was like, go there today. Just tell them I'll come there right now and I'll do the job myself. I'll respray it and it'll be fine. And because within 24 hours, no problem. So I tell him that. He calls me back and he goes, she does not want you there today. Now, I don't know how exactly, there were so many phone calls, I can't remember who said what, but anyway, she didn't want me there that day. And I said, ma'am, she says, but you will be here Tuesday at 8 a.m. and you will do this. And I said, ma'am, I don't do well at somebody ordering me around. And no, ma'am, I'm already booked ahead a month, and I cannot do that. I said, what do you think I ought to do, take my Tuesday appointment, tell them they got to wait a month? Yes, I do. She must have been, you know, supposed to be a son and thinks the whole world revolves around her or something. Somebody must have called her son at some point. And I wanted to say that to her, and God wouldn't let me, and probably a good thing, and because it was just my flesh. I'm sorry, my flesh is very fleshly, and I'm human like everybody. See, God wants you to understand, I'm a good example of the bad guy, okay, that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. We're all the bad guy, and we all need Jesus, but see, we think we're good because we look at others and go, well, I wouldn't do what they do. No, but you do this, you know. You know, we're all the bad guy. He's the only good guy. Do you understand? And it's like, when you do good, it's because at that particular moment in history, you let him, you cooperated with him and let him live through you. And then you go right back to being selfish and proud and lying and taking. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Thank you. I'm sorry. I resemble that. Okay. Now, here we go. And you know what? There's truth. There's freedom in truth. When you admit the truth, you get free. When you lie, it binds you up. It hurts you. It takes away your peace, your joy. It takes away your freedom. You can't even do stuff when you lie. It just doesn't. You got to admit the truth. Okay? Now watch this. I'm sorry. Jesus, I'd like to make this short, but I don't know how to make this short. So, Lord, time is in your hands. I don't want to deal with it again. Thank you, Jesus. Now, so anyway, I go, so I talk to the lady, and the female, and she says to me, your guy came here, and it is totally unsatisfactory or something like that. And I said, thank you. Because I'm trying to not respond, so I'm trying to just agree with my adversary quickly. I'm trying to learn how to do this. I'm still learning, you know. And so I said, thank you. And she goes, what? I go, thank you? What'd you say? Yes, ma'am. I didn't know what to say. Like, I don't know, how do I, you know, you're going to hit me anyway. I don't know what to say, you know? Like my dad, when I was growing up, and he would ask me questions, I'm like, yeah, I want to say what he wants me to say because I don't want to get hit, but I don't know what to say. So I try to say what he wants, and I still get hit. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't want to get hit. I don't like people yelling at me. I don't like people being mad. I have so many people call me almost every single day, probably every single day, about praising our work, telling us how good we are, blah, 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 how we just do wonderful work. And I say, well, every now and then, one turns out right, we get so excited, you know, accidents happen. And they always start laughing, but it's like I hear that every day. And then when somebody's not happy, I'm not happy because I want to make them happy. But we're not perfect. I tell them, you know, there's people that make a living putting erasers on pencils. And I said, somebody in this church even gave me a pencil that has an eraser on both ends because I make so many mistakes. And I really appreciate it. I keep it right in front of me when I'm talking to them. I pick that pencil up and hold it just so I can remember that I make that many mistakes. I need an eraser on both ends, okay? So I'm talking to the woman, and She goes, you will be here Tuesday at 8 a.m. and you will redo this stuff. And I said, no, ma'am. She goes, what? I don't think she's used to anybody ever telling her no. But see, I'm not. If you fear God, you don't have to fear man. I'm not afraid of anybody. That's why both the hitmen I led to Jesus, when they threatened to kill me, it was like, go ahead. You can't threaten me with Jesus. I've got eternal life. You, go ahead. You want to kill me? I'm looking forward to it. Like, let's go. Let's go to Jesus. And then they didn't know what to do, and so I brought them to Jesus, and now they're your brother and sister. They're your brothers, okay? And you're going to have to spend eternity with those hitmen, okay? Because now they got Jesus inside them, and they ain't hitmen no more. They've been hit by Jesus. Jesus took them out. Are you ready? So, as I'm trying to talk with her and not react to all this coming at me, I said, what do you want me to do? Whatever, you know. Of course, she wanted me to, you know, throw everybody else away and just take care of her. I said, no, ma'am, I don't run my business like that. And so anyway, she says, I want you over here right now and do this stuff right this minute. And I said, yes, ma'am, I was on my way over there when you told me to not come. I said, but now I'll be glad to. And I said, but I want to make sure. Would you, and I didn't know why I said this, but I said, would you repeat just so I make sure I understand what you want me to do? Because, you know, she had told me, I don't want you coming today. And now she wanted me to come today. So I said, could I just have you repeat, but make it real simple so I understand what you're saying? What is it you want me to do? I want you here right now and do this tub and get out of my house and my life. And I said, okay, that's simple. Thank you. I'll be right there. So I drive there. The guy calls me back, the builder. He said, Harvey, I have never heard so many expletives in such a short period of time in my life. Do you know what an expletive is? Yeah. It's a cuss word. It's a fancy word for cuss word. He said, I won't say what all he said. But he said, and I said, I'm really sorry you're having to go through this. I like to make people happy. I've had so many customers, so many builders and manufacturers tell me that I made customers happy after they set somebody else. Now I have to go redo their work. And they're just like, you didn't just do their work, but you made them happy. We don't know how you do that. And I said, I just pray and I ask God to get in there because I don't know what to do because in my nature, I want to tell him off. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, you haven't been told off till I've told you off. And it's not a pretty sight. And I don't want to live like that because I like hanging out with Jesus. And that doesn't help me hang out with Jesus. So I prayed and I said, you know, she had just told me to come. Then she calls the builder because I wouldn't just give her whatever she wanted the way she wanted it. You know, I told tell him we're not Burger King drive-thru. You know, I'm sorry you're conditioned to that, but that's not what we are, you know. And so he calls me. I apologize, told him I know how you must feel. I'm sorry you've been having to go through this, da-da-da-da-da. And he goes, okay, Harv, whatever. He was like, you know, whatever. So I drive there. Now, the last word she said real clearly was, I'm supposed to come there and spray it. And I told her, ma'am, I will probably be in and out of there in 15 minutes. But if we have to come back, it's going to take 2 or 3 hours because, see, it's only been 24 hours, and so I can spray it. Anyway, it's a long story. If I come back, it's like redoing the whole thing, whereas I could just 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I'll be done. It'll be done. So I show up at the house, big East Grand Rapids house. I knock on the door. The woman comes to the door. Hi, I'm Harvey Hampton, Deb Glaze. Come in my house. You got to understand, I didn't want to go in this house. You got to understand, I didn't want to go. I was like wishing we had never heard of this house. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather not have that $600 for those two jobs than have the. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather just not have anything to do with this. But I was praying all the way there and saying, God, I have no idea what to do. And I was asking him, please forgive me, because I found myself reacting to her, and I don't want to live like that. Jesus, would you forgive me? And I don't even know what I'm asking forgiveness for. I don't even know what I did wrong. I tried. I said, so please, even just open my dumb eyes so I can see what I don't even know, but I just know it wasn't right. And Jesus, would you just please come and be in the middle of this, because I don't even want to walk in the house. I can already feel like I'm going to have boiling water, you know, thrown on me, or venom of a snake, you know. That's what it feels like, okay? It feels like acid being thrown on you. I've had this experience before. It's not fun. And so I walk in the woman's house, and she says, I don't know what, let's see, how'd it go? Anyway, I introduced who I am, and she said, I've decided I don't want you to do my tub today. I have a one-year-old, which, by the way, I want you to whisper, because you have a loud voice. I said, yes, I do. I have a loud voice, don't I?
Yes, you do.
I just admit it. Why lie? Why get offended over that? I got a loud voice. I said, I will whisper, because I can't turn it down. I either talk my normal talk, or I whisper. So I will whisper, because I don't have that other, I don't have a volume control. And I said, I'm sorry. I said, ma'am, I want to take care of you. I want to please you. I said, but I'm real sorry. I don't do well at these kind of conversations and situations, and I'm sorry. But I want to please you, and I'm sorry that this happened. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, God's like, Harv, don't you understand? I orchestrated this because I want you in her life. But I don't understand this yet, okay? Because I'm right in the middle of it, and I'm just waiting any second. Because he just told me he's never heard so many expletives in one sentence, you know? So I'm expecting this, right? And I just humbled myself, told her I was sorry. I want to please you. And she says, now you can't do the tub. And I'm aware that if I do it now, it's 10 minutes. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I'll be in and out in 10 minutes. I have a one-year-old. We are going out tonight. I have a babysitter coming. We had fumes when you were here before, and though they were gone in 24 hours, I don't think it's fair. This is the first time I'm using this babysitter. It's not fair to have this babysitter be subjected to those fumes. And I said, ma'am, can I make some suggestions of what others have told me of scented candles, stuffing towel under the door, open a window on either side, hang a dryer sheet in there, absorbs the odor? Yes, but the answer is no. I decided 2 minutes ago I don't want you to do it. I'm like, but ma'am, I thought we made it. I asked you to make it real simple for me over the phone what you wanted. I've changed my mind. I said, yes, ma'am. No problem. Then we will, I mean, it was done. It was like, okay. And I said, we will come back. And I told my guy, go pull off all the paper. Go put the hardware back on. Go, you know. And meanwhile, I start talking to her. And I'm praying. Well, she's saying whatever. And I could see she was doing everything she could to keep it in. And I felt like God wanted me to say something to her about him, like some Bible truths, you know what I mean? And I'm like, Lord, do you know who I'm in front of? And I said, ma'am, I said, I don't remember exactly how it went, but I said, could I pray for you? And she said, oh, meanwhile, the builder calls, because she, when I walked in the house and she said, I don't want you doing this now, but you will be back on Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. She says that again. And I said, no, ma'am. She goes, the builder just told me you said that. And I said, ma'am, he must have misunderstood, because I didn't say you misunderstood, because that's not what I said. She said, he said, you'll be here between Tuesday and Thursday, but it'll be 8 a.m. one of those 3 days, because that's the days I work. And I said, no, ma'am, I won't. And so she, it didn't matter what I said, can I explain? She just picks up her phone, and she dials the builder, and she said, I'll get him on speaker, and we will do this right now. And she gets him, she dials, and he's not on, she gets voicemail. Okay? So after a little bit, the builder calls back. Okay, and this is right before I said, could I pray for you? And I talked to her, but she, it seemed like, was calming down. And I'm like, this must be God, because I don't know how to calm him down. Sue could calm him down, but I don't know how to calm him down. she says, the builder calls. And she goes, he's right here. Nope. Harvey and I have got it all worked out. And I said, I leaned toward her like I want to say something on the phone, so she held the phone. And I said, and she even likes me. We're friends now. And she goes, no, we're not. And she says, yep, Harvey and I have got it worked out. Okay, bye. And I don't know what I said, but I said, could I pray for you? And she said, I wish you would. And I'm like, but it was like what God was telling me inside, but I was afraid to even say the words because I thought, this is going to bite me. This is going to be terrible. It's going to hurt a lot. I don't, you know? Okay. I felt like God wanted me to share this. I don't know. It's to help some of you somehow. Okay? I don't know how. So I started praying for her. I just held up my hand. She put her hand in mine. Of course, when they put their hand in mine, they're a goner. I'm going to take them to Jesus. So she put her hand in mine, and I just began to pray for her. And she said to me, right before I prayed for her, she said, Harvey, my life has been... And that's when she told me about the felon builder, and then she told me about this guy who's supposed to be in and out in 2 or 3 weeks, and how it's been since June. And she says, I just want this black cloud over my life to go away! And what God was saying to me was, I'm not in her life. She's trying to live life without me. So she has no grace. She has no favor. She has no protection. She's trying to live life without me. He said, that's why I had you send the new guy. So he would mess it up. Because when Dave went there 2 weeks before, she's all happy with that. And I would have never come into her life. But God's like, you are my messenger for her. You're the only guy on the planet that I can reach her through. Do you hear me? But I had to go through what to get there? What do you have to go through? What does it mean to lay your life down so another could live? What does it mean to lose your life so Jesus could be released? What does it mean? Laying down your will, laying down your rights, keeping your big mouth, keeping my big mouth shut, not saying what, but they said, does that give license? I want to live in the kingdom of humility, not the kingdom of pride. I want to let Jesus live through me, not old snake breath, the devil. Do you understand? He's lived through me enough. No more. Okay? And besides that, I don't just want to be a good Christian and they say, oh, he was a nice guy. Who cares? They can still go to hell thinking I'm a nice guy. I want to get them to Jesus. I want to get them to Jesus. You want to get them to Jesus? We're going to have to lose our life to get them to Jesus. Because if they just think you're a nice guy and you gave them stuff and you helped them change their tire or buy them some groceries or whatever you did and you're just a nice guy.
Nice guy.
And they go to hell. What good is it? They went through life and they're still struggling and having all this stuff and no hope and nowhere to turn except a bottle or a needle. He wants us. You're going to be someone's Jesus. You're going to be their Jesus representative. You're going to be the closest to Jesus they ever come. Do you hear me? Okay? And it's not hard. All you got to do is die. That's all you got to do. Just die. Die to your way. Die to what you've always done. Die to what you think. Die to being in control. Now look, if he can do it through with this flesh that I deal with, which is worse than any of your flesh, I am very strong personality, very outward, you know, abrasive, big mouth, you know, stick out everywhere I go. None of you are as bad off as I am. And if he can get loose through me, he can do it through you. Repeat these words with me. Not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Get him, Jesus. That's right. Get him, Jesus. All right, you ready? She says to me, Harvey, I just want this black cloud off my life. Nothing goes right. And I pray for her. And I said, Jesus. And I am about to laugh uncontrollably. I have just got so much joy and peace coming out of me. Tears are coming down my eyes. And I'm like, telling her how much Jesus loves me and how I hang out with him or something. I don't even know what I said, but it was like all I could think about was he's like right here, you know, with me. And that's all I could think. And it was like I was just about to bust with Jesus. And I said, Jesus, I want you to deliver her from all these things. And I just prayed for that and said, and I want you to bless her, Father, as if she were. Now, this lady had just got through saying all these words. Father, I want you to bless her as if she were Jesus himself. She not only thanks me, she says to me, Harvey, all of this that's been happening in my life, I have a one-year-old, and all these words and things that are coming out of me since I've been going through this, I'm just so frustrated. And it's like, it was like, I don't want this. In other words, you see, and ever since then, God just has her on my heart. I called her this morning. Maybe the kid must have picked it up because I could hear him banging around in the kitchen or whatever, but nobody answered the phone. But God has her on my heart. And it's like I felt like he told me when I was in her house, she's going to come to Burning Bush. And I'm like, whatever, Lord. Now, then we'll have 21. You know, good. Okay. You know what I'm saying? My worker, who's born again in a church, goes where Dave goes. He said, wow, I can't believe that happened. And I didn't even, God said, don't even comment, just leave. And I did. People need Jesus so bad. People need Jesus so bad. And the ones who deserve the least need him the most. It's real easy if somebody would walk up to you and say, you know, I've been thinking about Jesus, and I want to go to church and get my life right with God. Would you help me? Wouldn't that be neat? Have you ever had anybody do that? I have. But it hadn't been very often, like maybe one out of a million that I've talked to. Okay? Most people, they're resisting right up to the end. Right up to the end. A guy called me this morning. This is something else that you need. I'm just, Sue just said, I'll see you at the building, you know. I'm getting my stuff together. I'm picking it up, and my phone rings. Remember a month or so ago, I was down in Florida to help my dad? And remember, we got him a car, and I took it to the body shop and talked to this guy, and I told you I witnessed to him. And then God had me, because he's got ADHD, and he has all these problems and stuff, and God had me buy him some vitamins and send him down there. And he's like, let me pay for him. And I'm like, could you just receive it as a gift from Jesus? On what's that, text? He was texting me until I said, could you just receive this as a gift from Jesus? I never heard from him again, right? This morning, what is this, 4, 5, 6 weeks later, I'm getting ready to leave, come here, and I get a phone call. And he says, I need to talk to you. I got all these things in my life, and you're somebody I can talk to. And I said, I'm on my way to church. I'll be glad to call you later. He goes, but I'm real desperate. I'm real. And I said, uh-huh. And I'm on my way to church. And I'll call you later. Now, I asked God, do you want me to stop? Because I don't do Sunday school. You want me to stop and talk to him? God's like, no. This is part of him getting where he needs to go. People got to get desperate. Is there anybody in this room that you didn't have to go through some hard stuff to get to Jesus? It was like one day you just woke up and went, man, I think I'll go become a Christian from now on and just give my life to God. Or did you have to go through like the whole world's coming against you? You feel like, no, I'm trying to get through life, you know, and everything's dumping on you and everything's coming against you and it's like life is hard and it's like, I think I'm going to go to hell. And then you met Jesus. Was that for you? Because that was for me. But there's a whole lot of people that are members of churches, but they don't have Jesus yet. But when you meet Jesus, you had to get lost. You first had to realize you were on your way to hell. It's not just knowing about God. We're not Christian encyclopedias. I know all about that. Mm-hmm. How's that working for you? Because nobody else could see Christ in you. Matter of fact, I had a woman recently that I witnessed to. Matter of fact, she was down in Florida. And she said, my husband works for a company that prints Bibles, and he knows the Bible in and out. He reads the Bible all the time. And when he talks, she said, but when you talk, she said, and I only talked to her just a couple of minutes. She goes, when you talk, it's like it's alive. It's like it's doing something. And I said, ma'am, there's a difference between knowing about him and knowing him. There's a difference between knowing about him and trying to straighten everybody else out with what you know, because I've done that. How'd that work for you, Harb? Not at all. You know what one of my verses used to be when I did that, trying to straighten everybody out? You know what one of my verses used to be? Galatians 4:19. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I was so self-righteous. I just told you the truth. Why are you having a problem? It didn't help anybody. But now when I love them, and I tell them how God loves them, and how he loves them 100%, and how he's pursuing them, and how he died for them, and he's like, he didn't just die for you, he was like in the prime of life, gave up his life, looked down and said, there she is. He says, I don't want her to get what she deserves. Father, give me what she deserves. And he says, but it'll kill you, son. He said, I know, but I don't want it to kill her. And then he's pursuing you. He's pursuing you. And you keep putting him back, tell him to go stand in line. Yeah. I got you, Jesus. Okay, but I got to do this first. I got to do my job, and I got to do my marriage, and I got to go hunting, and I got to go fishing, and I got to go me. Me. Got the note yet, Lord? Me. And God says, I love you so much, and you're hurting me, but I love you so much, I'll wait in line. While you put everything else in front of me, I'll wait in line. Because I love you that much. I'm not ever going to give up on you. I'm not ever going to quit pursuing you. Do you understand? God loves me. Can you say that? God loves me. Is there anybody in here that believes that? Okay. What does it mean, God loves me? He has warm, fuzzy feelings, and what does that mean? He loves me. Can't hear you. He died on the cross, okay? Ultimate expression. Laid down his life so I could live. He loves me that much. How much you love Harvey, Jesus? That much. What does it mean he loves me? What does it mean he loves me? What does it mean? Yes, sir? What does it mean? He cares for you. Do you hear that? He cares for you. Every little thing in your life. He cares how he treats you. He cares how he doesn't treat you. He cares when he talks to you, and he cares how he talks to you. Or if he talks to you, or when he talks to you. He cares. He cares. He loves you. What does it mean he loves me? Yes, sir? Wow. The thought he gave me that time, he said, Harvey, do you know to the negative, you always reap less than you deserve? And he said, to the positive, when you get good stuff, he said, I always give you more than you deserve. When my grandson mows my yard, I used to pay somebody else this amount of money. I pay him that amount of money. He's like, and he just told me yesterday, Papa, when I mow my yard, my mom and dad give me this amount. But when I come here, you give me that amount. I said, well, I can afford to give that amount more than they can afford to give that amount because they got so many kids. But I want to go beyond. I don't want to give just enough. Could you help me out? Here's 10. No. Here's 100. Huh? 100? I only need 10. I understand. But here's 100. You know why? Because I don't want you to have to feel that way. That's why when people come and speak here, see, I've preached all over America. And when I'd go and they give you 25 or 50 bucks, I'm sorry. One time I told you, I went down to Florida to preach, and the guy at the end gave me 25 bucks. I'm like, do you know what era this is? Do you know how much gas costs? And it's like, I didn't say anything, but I left and I told on him to God. And I'm like, the dude gave me, what's this? His Coke money? You know? I don't want to treat people like that. So when people come here, if the church doesn't have it, I give it out of my pocket because I don't want preachers to be, I want them to be honored. The Bible says that a preacher is even worthy of double honor. So I don't want to treat people the way I've been treated. Do you understand? So the guy, when he called me from Florida, he's real desperate. But him being desperate and waiting 6 weeks doesn't mean I need to miss church to talk to him. Do you understand? So what do you get out of that? Bo, the hitman, came to me. Remember I told you I worked Madison Heights and witnessed this guy. We worked together. And he came to my house. He knocked on my house on a Wednesday night. We were on our way to church. And he said, you're the only guy I know that can get me to Jesus. I said, then get in the car. We're on our way to church. I don't miss church for nobody. I'm going to God's house. But I'm desperate. Then you better get in the car. I guess it took this to get you to go to church, huh? Do you understand? Don't miss church for nobody. Don't miss Jesus. Now, you ask God, God, do you want me to? Make sure it's God and not your flesh, not your emotions. Most people are led by their emotions. Well, I feel. Your emotions lie, as the brother said. Anyway, I feel much better now. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if we're going to get somewhere here. I woke up this morning with these four questions on my mind. I've got a bunch of verses. I guess I'm not going to give you all the verses. I guess we're only going to do the three passages I talked about. But let me give you the four questions. Are you ready? I woke up this morning and it was like crystal clear what God... It was like... I mean, I don't do well at waking up. I hit my snooze about... Well, let's see. It went off at 6 and I got up at 6:47. So, okay. Well, I just have to keep hitting it, because if I hit the off button, I'll never get up. Dude, I remember when I was a teenager, I used to sleep till noon or 1. Did anybody else ever do that? You know what I'm talking about? You made that same cloth. Well, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. There's some of us that did that, okay? All right. Question number 1. Do you want truth? Because guess what? I want you to live Jesus. You want to live Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay. But we have so many lies that we believe, that we've bought into. We think God, our Heavenly Father, is like our earthly father. We think He's going to backhand us. We think He's going to cut us off. We think He's going to forget us, not show up at the ball game. We think He's going to forsake us. He's going to let us down. I was in another man's house this week over in Lansing area, and I walked in, and we started talking about hunting because he's out in this place. I bet you see a bunch of deer. He said, I see them all the time. He said, there's these big... I'm like, dude. So we just enjoyed hunting, talking for a little bit, and then somehow he said, I am so blessed, or something. And it was like, ding, 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 ding. There's my cue. So I got to talking about Jesus. And as we got talking about Jesus, anyway, I talked to him, witnessed to him, and he was going, oh, oh, oh. He was getting hit in the spirit so many times. And then I said, because I kept trying to quit, and God just wouldn't quit. And I said to him, I feel like I'm supposed to pray and help you pray a prayer. He said, okay. I said, this is your prayer, so pray with me. So we're praying, little phrases, and I said these words, God, I've been afraid that you're going to let me down like others. And the dude, it went dead silent. And then I started hearing sniveling, and water was flowing, and his voice was all cracked. And then finally, choking, 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 he said, those words. I've been afraid that you're going to let me down like others. Because he was like, he has this call on his life, but he's not moving in it. Why? Because he's not trusting God. Your concept of God is going to flavor, color your whole life. 4 questions. Do you want truth? Number 2. What is your basis of truth? Where is what you think true? Where did it come from? Well, my parents taught me this. Well, this is what life has taught me. I'm sorry, life will teach you a lot of stuff that ain't true. We come to wrong conclusions because we've been hurt. I can't trust any man. Oh, I hate it when I meet women that just cut off half the population of the world. Every man's like this. And I'm thinking, I'm not like that. And then I meet men the same way with about women. I don't want to get married. No. Puke, puke in front of me. Every one of us on this planet is a sinner. And without Jesus, I wouldn't want to be married to any of them. Do you understand? Sue and I have said so many times, do you know that Sue and I have nothing in common except Jesus? I mean, we have nothing in common but Jesus. If we try to talk about anything else, I love outdoors, she hates outdoors. I love travel, she hates travel. I love Westerns. I mean, who doesn't? And she doesn't. She likes girly movies. I'm sorry. They make me cry. I don't like watching them. Okay? But every now and then, I watch those girly movies with her. I don't like to. I don't want to. But I don't. We're so opposite. We have nothing in common but Jesus. Sue and I. She's blind. I'm dark. Anyway, do you want truth? What is your basis of truth? Where did your truth come from? What you think is true, where did you come up with that? Why do you think it's true? What does God's Word have to say about, and then you pick the subject. What does God's Word have to say about what you think is true in this area, that area, this area? What does God say about all the men on the planet? What does God say about all the women on the planet? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what does God say about what you think is true that may not be true? What does God's Word have to say? You know, I have preachers that will tell me, they state stuff like it's true, and I'll say, can you show me that, please? Preachers, pastors that I've preached for, and they can't show me. But they get up and say it in front of their congregation like it came from the Bible. And I say, where did you get that from? And then there's people that are Christians that I meet here in Grand Rapids, and they tell me what the Bible says, and I'll say, really? And I'm familiar with that verse. And I say, do you have a Bible around here? And they get it. And when we read it, they twisted it so it came out meaning something different than what the Bible says. And I say, is that what you meant? No. And they just stare. They don't know. But see, they're believing a lie. That's what the devil does. He twists the truth and it becomes a lie. He omits or adds. Adds or subtracts from the Word and makes it a lie. What does the Word say? And why are you a lemming? That's not the fourth question. Why are you a lemming? I'm sorry, this is under number three. Why are you a lemming? In other words, why don't you go read the Bible for yourself? A lemming is just it's like sheep. You know, they're running. And so the first sheep sees something and it jumps. Will you move the thing? All the rest of the sheep jump. And there's nothing there. But they're just lemmings. They just do what the first sheep did. Oh, we're not thinking. We just follow in the last guy. Oh, let's all jump. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You need to read the Bible for yourself every single day. It's not because I'm trying to get you to do what I'm telling you to do. I'm trying to help you. You said you want to live truth. You want truth. Do you want truth or not? Yes. When?
Now.
Oh, well, when should we read our Bible?
Every day.
But you said you want truth now, so when should we read our Bible?
Right now.
I think that was clear. Okay. Do you want truth? What's your basis of truth? Where did your truth come from? What does God's Word have to say about what you think is true? I dare you right now. I'm going to pray your prayer. Are you ready? Dear God, I want you to show me things that I'm believing that are not true. Thank you, Jesus. He's going to get you now. You just ask Him. He always accepts an invitation. And He's not going to show them all to you in one day. Because you and I can't handle it. He's going to show you one. And then after 3 or 4 months and you finally come into truth, then he'll show you another one. Because that's what we do. We argue, we justify, we explain, yeah, but. When you hear yourself saying, yeah, but, you're arguing with God. Sheep follow, goats, but. Do you want to be a goat? The goats don't come into heaven. The sheep go into heaven. Sheep follow, goats, but. Okay, but. Well, the Bible says, but. Well, Jesus, but. Get the butt out of it. All right. Amen. Question number 4. I'm not meaning the way those of you who are laughing took it. I am not, because you asked my daughter. I told my kids that word is a cuss word. Except the word conjunction. A conjunction means it joins two parts of a sentence. Okay? Like... Yeah, I like it. Yeah, so Sue, you say when she's grown up, I like it, except I don't want any. I like it, but I don't want any. Okay? Well, there's another kind of rump, rear end, sit in place, derriere. But we don't use that word, B-U-T-T, in our house. It's a cuss word. We just don't say that. We don't say shut up either. That's a cuss word. Okay? Now, you can do what you want. But I tell you what, I'd have people say to me, your kids think that's a cuss word? And I'm like, yeah, they don't go as far as your kids that think those other words that are cuss words. So my kids never even get that far because I set up higher standards. You understand? I don't want that kind of attitude in my home. I don't want to have to deal with that in my life. I hate those words. I hate stuff like that. I love people being kind and gentle and talking to me like they appreciate me and care about me. I like it. Every time I see Mr. Tom Bowsma, you know what he does? That big old hunkin' dude, he comes over to me every time and he goes like this. That's exactly what he does. I see it. He goes, and then he hugs me. And he may not even say a word. I may not hear a word from him in months. But whenever I see him, here he comes. Big old guy hugging on me. That's what I want. That's not what I get out there. That's what I give out there. But that's what I get here. And because I get it here, I can give it out there. Number 4. This is the biggest question. Now, they're in order. Because if you don't get the right answer, you can't go to the next question. You know, if your answer doesn't match up with what God wants. Number 4. You ready? Are you willing to lay down what you think is right and true at the feet of Jesus and let him sort through it, whether it is true? Are you willing to lay down what you think is right and true, lay it down at the feet of Jesus, and let Jesus sort through it and then let you know if it's true? It may contain a truth, but it may be a lie stuffed with the truth. You understand? Now, let's read the verses. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way you think is what you're going to be. If you were in Sunday school this morning, and by the way, you shouldn't miss Sunday school. It's not for kids. It's for everybody. And it's to help you. And it is power-packed. And it's just the doors are open. You need to be here. You need to get it. It's just you're missing half the meal. I don't like missing any of the meal, obviously. I resemble that. Okay. Hey, but I have lost, 29 or 30 pounds now? Doing the slim, healthy mama. Or something like Sim, something like that. Trim healthy mama thing. It's not a diet, it's a way of life. Anyway, I'm sorry, it was a little plug. All right, shut the rabbit. Okay. As you think in your heart, so you become. If somebody tells you you're bad, you think you're bad. You're not bad. You're not ugly. You're not dumb. You may not be as pretty as the next one or as smart as the next one or as good as the next one. But you were made in the very image of God. And here, I want you to say this with me. I was made on purpose with a purpose by the perfect one. I was made on purpose with a purpose by the perfect one. And here, let's add another one. In his image. Is anybody in here come from apes or monkeys? I didn't think so. Okay, so you were made in the image of God. Just don't confess other people's problems. Okay. I know. You know what? Every time that hand's pointing at somebody else, you got three pointing back at you. Let's just work on that. All right. That's Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. God made you in his image. God is perfect. He is precious. We need to get to know him as he really is and not who we think he is. Well, if God's so good, why blah, blah, blah? Why does he let little kids get hurt? Because he lets them have parents that are sinners? What does he do? Somebody's going to be a sinner. He's going to yank him out of the pool. He gives everybody a free will. He doesn't make people go to heaven. You don't have to come to my house, he says. You don't have to have my peace. You don't have to have my protection. You don't have to have my provision. You can go try doing it your own way. You don't have to tell me how it works because it doesn't. Here's another one you need to say. God's way works. God's way works. My way doesn't. Isn't that true, though? God's way works. My way doesn't. Okay. What was the next verse? John 18:33. Jesus is talking to Pontius Pilate. And I think it's quite noteworthy. Jesus is getting ready to go to be crucified. And Jesus could have got all the tables turned, so he didn't have to do that. But instead, Jesus went through this for us. Let's look at verse 33. And he says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' And Jesus answered him, 'Do you say this thing of yourself, or did others tell it you of me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here.' Pilate therefore said unto them, 'Art thou a king then?' Jesus answered," now I think this is noteworthy. He says, "Thou sayest, you say that I'm a king." And watch this. He says, Jesus said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." That's not what we hear preachers say. What he's getting ready to say is not what I've ever heard a preacher say. Unless he's read this verse, but I don't remember ever hearing a preacher say this is why Jesus came. They say he came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to die for us. He came into the world to be our example. Are all those things true? Yes, but look what Jesus came out of his mouth in verse 37. "To this end was I born," this is the reason I was born, "and for this cause came out of the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." And then he made a very big statement. I hope it applies to you. He said, "Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." The people that don't want to hear from God, they're not of the truth. The people that but, those are the goats. See, they don't want to hear his voice because they're not of the truth. I don't want you to turn there, but But if you want to compare that to John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. And he speaks of his own. Because who's your daddy? Is it God? Or is it old snake breath? We all had snake breath as our daddy. And when you get born again, then God becomes your daddy. Who's your daddy? Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now look at verse 38. This is where we're going. Pilate saith unto Jesus, what is truth? That's where I had a whole bunch of verses about truth that I wanted to go into. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians. Genesis, Exodus, Matthew, Mark, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. Popcorn? Go eat popcorn. Thank you. Okay. You mean go eat popcorn and cookies, because the next one's Colossians. Oh, I see it. Okay, you ready? Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. He's going to tell them to think on these things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just or right in the sight of God, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, have peaceful, make you feel good, like nature. I love seeing it. I got to go up to Manistee this week. It is so beautiful driving up there. It was like deer and bear country. I went to this guy's house, did a job for him. I said, I bet you have bear here. It was out in the boondocks. And he goes, I do. And then he says, is there anything I could do for you? I said, yeah, invite me to come hunt your land. And he said, you can come hunt my land for bear or deer. But he's got a bunch of people that come for deer. So I said, I won't come for the deer season. I said, I'd like to come for the bear season if I can get Daniel Boone Jr. to go with me. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. But he starts it off by saying, brethren, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. Whatsoever things are honest, think on these things. Whatsoever things are just or right or without fault, think on these things. Do you get it? Whatsoever things are true. We're going to be done, but I'm going to ask you this. I'm just trying to help you. In your mind, we have all kinds of things that we believe, but they're not true. And over time, God reveals them to us. We come to an awareness. Hey, you know, all this time I thought that was true. Like we think things about our parents, and then when we get older, we realize that wasn't true. That was not my little kid's perception. You know what I'm saying? Or when you forgive somebody, you realize, man, now I understand why that person hurt me. Because I find out what happened in their life, and they got hurt, and that's what was inside of them. And so they turn around. And see, people without Jesus, they can't help but lie and accuse. The devil, the Bible says, he's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses God to us. If God's so good, why doesn't he just give you the world? Why didn't he let you run the world? Why didn't he give you everything you want? He's holding back on you. He accuses God to us. He accuses us to God. Go read Job. He accuses us to God. And then he accuses us to one another. You know what she did? Well, let me tell you what he did. Okay. Am I right or right? So when people do that, who's their daddy? Do you see what I'm saying, though, right? Who's their daddy? What I'm saying is, but it's because they're blind. They don't see yet. So somebody's screaming at us and demanding and cussing at us and being unreasonable and telling us one thing, and then when you go and spend time and energy and money to go over there, and then they, well, I just changed my mind. And I'm totally unreasonable, and we're not going to do it. So how do we treat them? How would Jesus treat them? And guess what? I told her I was sorry. I humbled myself. I really want to help you, but I want to help all my customers, and I can't treat one bad to give you your way. I know you're used to running the world, and you've never heard the word no before. You know, I didn't tell her that. What I'm saying, though, I was just being real kind. Do you know what Romans 2:4 says? The goodness of God leads a person to repentance. Has this ever led you to repentance? No. But being kind to somebody, it's like all of a sudden, she was going, do you know what's coming out of me? I hear myself doing all this stuff in front of my one-year-old. She's blaming her circumstances, but God used it to bring up what's really inside of her. She's just used to being this socially calm because everybody gives her way. I mean, anybody can act nice when they're getting their way all the time and nobody will stand up to them. I used to do that till Sue quit giving me my way all the time. And there was a period of time there I was pretty ugly. And y'all have seen ugly in me, but you should have seen it back then. It was really ugly. What I'm saying is we've all got ugly inside of us. We've all got lies inside of us. God, would you please reveal the lies? Because I want to live the truth. God, would you please show me where I'm deceived? Will you show me what lies I've bought into? Where did they come from? And then when he shows you, don't argue with, oh, don't argue. God, where did that come from? It was how you were treated. It was the example you had in your home. It was what you were taught. It was what all your friends that you hung out with as you grew up. It's the way they thought. I'm a victim. Everybody owes me. Nobody owes you nothing. But we have stinking thinking. And Jesus wants to clean us up. One last thing, just because I was on my hand, I didn't get to talk about it earlier, so I think it fits here. Sometimes I can't find my notebook, but I can always find my hand. All right. So I'm driving down the road, and there's these people that are the worst drivers in the world. And God says, Harvey, I want to answer your prayer to become like Jesus. So I'm going to put this worst driver in the world, slowest poke you've ever seen, right in front of you. And I'm like, come on, do you see that? Like, I don't know, none of y'all do this, but I'm just telling you. And he says to me, Harv, do you want to be like Jesus? I'm like, yeah. He's like, Harv, you need this slowest poke, worst driver, in front of you to get there. I don't just want you to pray for them. What I want you to do is realize it's me in your life. I put this slowest poke in your face, right in front of you, on purpose. And my purpose is to create Christ in you. I want you to embrace and thank me for putting this worst driver in the world in front of you. I want you to thank me. Do you hear me? I want you to thank me. I want you to realize it's for your good. Harv, when you get to heaven and you check out the video, and you see that they were handicapped and they were blind. What were they doing on the road, Lord? He said, that's not your problem. I'm going, it was my problem when they were in front of me. And he's going, nope. He says, I did it on purpose. And he says, because you didn't get it right away, I found more of them just like them. I put a whole nest of them in front of you. One after another. I get past one in another. another one shows up. Where are they coming out of the woodwork? Is there a nest of them around here? Jesus, we love you. And we need you so much. And we want to get to know the real you and how you work. And here we answer prayers and think you're just going to just, you know, make everybody else in the world change to give us what we want and do things our way. And, Lord, we just, we blame you. We accuse you. We get mad at you. We don't talk to you. We don't pray to you. We don't include you. We don't invite you. Father, please forgive us. Thank you for being so kind and so tender-hearted while we are resisting you, fighting you, arguing with you, blaming you. Please forgive us, Jesus. Thank you that you already have. Thank you that you already know our sin nature. And you said, well, I'm not going to give up on you. You don't get to fail. I'm just going to keep putting more of them in front of you until you get it. And Lord, that's why we got to marry who we married, so we could get it. We had to marry our opposite. And we got to quit trying to change them. We need to find out who you created them to be so we could help them to become who you created them to be. Fulfill that. And Lord, but we want to get to know the real you. We want to know truth. Please reveal the lies in our lives. Reveal the lies in our belief systems. Reveal the lies in our thinking. And then help us to break agreement, to admit it out loud. Yes, this is a lie. My mom didn't hate me. My dad didn't hate me. He just had to work 3 jobs. My dad didn't hate me. He just didn't know how to deal with life, so he lived in a bottle. My dad didn't hate me. Do you understand? Jesus, we need truth. We want truth. Help us to admit the truth. Break agreement with the lies so we could receive your truth, because we want your truth to live in us. Because Jesus, as Janiah said, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the truth. You are the truth, Jesus. We want to live you. Jesus, thank you that you'll take as long as we need to help us get to the truth. But we'd like to get there a little quicker. Please teach us how to do that. Help us to get there. We need you every minute of every day. Teach us how to depend on you and quit trying to be independent and do it without you or for you. You don't need help. We need help. That's the truth. And we say, thank you, Jesus. You're awesome. Amen.